It is a great privilege and honor to be invited to serve and to teach the gospel here at Hope Community Reform Presbyterian Church. I invite you to embark on a journey with me through God's Word. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 50 as we consider verses 4 through 9, but we will look at most of the chapter. And let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit be our guide for tonight's lesson. And while you are turning there, I want to say that our text tonight speaks of Jesus' passive and active obedience. I will teach from Isaiah's third prophetic servant song and its fulfillment in Christ Jesus. The book of Isaiah contains four prophetic servant songs, and they are all about Christ. Isaiah's third prophetic servant song and its weighty fulfillment in Christ Jesus bear witness to Jesus' perfect obedience to the Word of God. Jesus' obedience to the Father for us is twofold. So when I speak of Jesus' active obedience to the Father, I refer to his active, perfect adherence to God's law. Jesus was sinless and obeyed all of God's laws perfectly for us. God has given or imputed to us sinners the perfect righteousness of Christ by faith. Now, when I speak of Jesus' passive obedience to the Father for us, I'm speaking of his paying the penalty for our failure to obey God's law, because we have all broken God's law. And for this, Jesus suffered, bled, and died, substituting himself for us and our sins. God imputed or gave Jesus all of our sins on the cross and all the punishment that we rightly deserved. Tonight's text prophetically foretells Jesus' passive and active obedience. Isaiah's prophecy was written down for us more than 700 years before Jesus was born. And with that said, I would invite those who feel comfortable with and who are able to stand for the reading of God's holy word. In tonight's text or song, Jesus the Son speaks to us by his Spirit in Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9. And I say, hear now the infallible, the inerrant, the all-sufficient and all-powerful and authoritative word of God for you and me. And Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, the servant of God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, saying, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is truly the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, what we have not, please give us. Holy Spirit, what we know not, please teach us. And Jesus, what we are not, please make us for your name's sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As Jesus is God and man in one person, or truly God and truly man, we find him sometimes in the scriptures speaking or spoken of as the Lord God Almighty, and at other times, like in our text, in his humanity as a man and as the servant of God. Theologians in Latin say Jesus is a vera homo, vera Deus. Jesus is truly God. He possesses an uncreated divine nature that predates the existence of the universe, yet Jesus is truly man. He possesses a created human nature with everything needed to make him truly human, yet he did not sin. In our prophetic and poetic song today, Jesus speaks as a man in his humanity from the viewpoint of the servant of God. Jesus came in his humanity to declare the truths that comfort the broken hearts of those weary from sin and those harassed with heavy, dreadful burdens. And because the Holy Spirit was upon him, Jesus spoke as no man had ever spoken before. And it was God the Father who daily stirred him to pray, to preach the gospel, and to receive and to deliver the whole counsel of the Father to this lost, dark, and dying world. The servant sings to us in verse 4 of Isaiah 50, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught." The Father gave Jesus his words in a very special way to communicate his word effectively to those with ears that hear. Jesus was the greatest preacher ever. And all of the words he would have us hear are written down today in our Bibles for us to hear his voice. Now, Jesus listened to the Father 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, not only in the morning. Morning by morning and awaken are Hebraic poetic expressions that mean Jesus continually heard the Father's words for us. The Hebrew expression boker by boker, morning by morning, could easily been yom by yom, day by day. The meaning is that Jesus always heard the Father. As Jesus said in John 12, verse 49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." And again, Jesus in John 12, verse 30 said, "What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." The Father knows and taught Jesus, the man, to know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Jesus, the man, is the most skilled counselor who has ever been instructed by the Father. Jesus' counsel has been written down for us in the Bible, the Word of God, for he is the eternal Word of God, written to the weary believer who, much like the servant Jesus himself, is the object of much ridicule and abuse. Jesus, the Word of God, written to the oppressed and the downtrodden. Jesus is the man for the job. We can trust his counsel. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 9, verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Jesus, the Word made flesh, who beckons to the weary, oppressed, sick, and hurt in this dying world, in Matthew 11, verses 28, 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus was to know how to sustain with a word him who was weary. Jesus and the Father know the word that sustains the weary. That word isn't found on social media or computers or TV sets. That word cannot be found on the pages of books that were written by man's imagination. The word that sustains the weary is found in your Bible. Invest your time and your family's time. Open the Bible and read the word that sustains the weary. The Holy Spirit will supernaturally illuminate the word of God and make it real to you. And it will stabilize you on your life's journey. Unless you invest your time and life in the Bible or the word that sustains the weary, your journey through this dark world will be tiresome and exhausting. And you will adopt and run to idols, false gods, and habits, and unhealthy routines contrary to the ways of God as coping mechanisms, ways to endure the weariness of this sinful, broken, and depraved world. Beloved, God gave us words. Live in those words. The Bible gives us those words. As Paul writes in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The word translated Scriptures in Greek is graphe, meaning the very words printed on the pages of your Bible. Through the encouragement of these Scriptures, we might have hope, a real hope, a living hope, and a lasting hope. Without the Scriptures, we become hopeless. God's Word and the Holy Spirit open our ears to God's ways. So the servant sings, letting us know in the following verse, verse 5 of Isaiah 50, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. God the Father opened his Son, Jesus' ears. Jesus not only heard the Father, but also did what the Father told him to do. Jesus was not rebellious, and he did not draw back. He heard and did. Now, this verse could be as much an indictment to us today as it was in its original context to the covenantal ancient nation of Israel, which did not hear or keep the word of God. The Hebrew word for hearing is shema, which means hearing the sound going into our ear, but also doing what you hear. As James reminds us in James 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Jesus heard and did. Ethnic and ancient Israel did not and does not. Ancient Israel rejected God's written word. If we look at the prelude to this song, we see that very clearly. In it, the Father asked the ancient nation of Israel in the introduction to the servant song in Isaiah 50, verse 1, thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. The Father asked ancient Israel two questions. Again, this is metaphoric, prophetic, and poetic. The Father asking Israel's children about Israel's mother, who is also Israel, when did we get a divorce? And when did I sell my children, Israel, away as a slave? Israel's problem was of their own making. Israel did not hear what God's word said, so they did not do what God's word said to do. But Israel loved and still loves the extra biblical writings like the Mishnah, the Zohar, the Talmud, the Mishnah Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, the Siddur, and the Tanya, and the list goes on and on and on. The words of mere men that they say are the words of God. Israel replaced God's word with man's word, so they didn't do what the Bible said. Additionally, they didn't know what Jesus would be like when Jesus came. Israel replaced God's word with man's word. And today, Christianity has the same problem. Know that we must study and read and know the scriptures. Also know that all the cunning of the devil is exercised in tearing you away and keeping you from reading, studying, and knowing your Bible. The question that we must ask ourselves is, will we let the devil win? Additionally, Israel had many false prophets speaking the word of men that they listened to because they lacked spiritual discernment because Israel didn't know God's written word. Know that the Bible gives the believer spiritual discernment to know the difference between true and false and what is equally important, what is true and almost true. Sadly, much of modern evangelicalism suffers the same affliction that ancient Israel did. Hear the word of God concerning false prophets in Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. Not a real hope, not a living hope, not a lasting hope. The scripture continues, they speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. False prophets plagued Israel because they didn't know or didn't do God's written word, and sadly, the same plague exists today in modern evangelicalism for the same reasons. God said in Jeremiah 23, verses 21 and 22, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they would have stood in my counsel, Psalm 119, verse 24 tells us that we find God's counsel in the counsel of his word. God said, but if they would have stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way, and from their evil deeds. If these false prophets and teachers had known God's written word, they would have taught God's word. We come to the second verse of Isaiah 50 in the prelude to our servant song. God asks, "Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" The nation of Israel sadly did not recognize God's visitation in Christ, and his call was ignored. The rest of verse 2 goes on to remind his people of their deliverance from the Exodus, and when we come to verse 3, in apocalyptic language, God expresses sadness for his people's lack of trust and lack of knowledge of his written word. Because Israel didn't know God's written word, they did not repent. Israel rejected God's word. Israel rejected the God of the written word, Jesus. But Israel didn't reject the God of their imaginations, the God of their own devices. They loved the idol of the God of their imagination or their own devices. Unlike the God of the scriptures, the God of their imaginations could not save them. In Isaiah 65, verse 2, God says, "I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices." Paul uses these very words to describe Israel's apostasy, writing in Romans 10, verse 21, "But of Israel, he," God says, "all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." See, the great challenge for us Christians today is the same as ancient Israel's. We may know very well the Jesuses and the gods of man's books and videos and documentaries and movies, as well as the God of the false prophets that are the product a man's imagination. But do you know the real Jesus and God from the scriptures? Well, you can. Paul tells the church in Corinth about these false gods, about the gods of man's word and man's imagination, which don't exist and can't save. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, yet for the Bible-believing Christian who stands in God's counsel, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist. It has pleased the Father to reveal himself and his Son in the Holy Scriptures, on the pages of your Bible." Now, one of the many mantras of modern evangelicalism that we hear today is a warning about head knowledge. They say that it is more important for you to have heart knowledge than just mere head knowledge. And the devil loves these silly, silly sayings. But the reality is that anything that you may have in your heart must pass through your eye and ear, goes into your head or your mind and intellect. And then it goes where? To the heart. And it is from the abundance of your heart that the mouth speaks, the mind can obey, and the hands can do. Only if you know the word can you do what the word tells you to do. So the servant can sing in verse 5 of Isaiah 50, "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward." Jesus is singing of his active obedience to the Father. Jesus' active obedience to the Father is his active, perfect adherence to God's law. Jesus was sinless and obeyed all of God's laws perfectly for us. God has, by faith, given or imputed to us sinners the perfect righteousness of Christ. And in the next verse, Jesus sings of his passive obedience to the will of his Father for us in verse 6 of Isaiah 50, saying, "I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." The Roman soldiers beat Jesus with whips to make the execution of the cross, Jesus sliding with his back cut open against a splintered, rugged cross to breathe more excruciatingly painful. And for Jewish men, having your beard removed was the ultimate disgrace. Jesus is the King of glory, who was mocked and spit at for you and me. Jesus was passive to the will of his Father in becoming a curse for us and taking all the punishments written in the law for our rebellion and disobedience. Jesus' passive obedience to the Father for us is his paying the penalty for our failure to obey God's law, because we have all broken God's law. And for this, Jesus suffered, bled, and died, substituting himself for us and our sins. God imputed or gave Jesus all of our sins on the cross and all the punishment that we deserved. With great confidence, the servant in verse 7 of Isaiah 50 says, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." Now, just as Jesus sings this with great confidence, so we believers can sing this also. But we must set our faces like flint in our Bibles to make our calling and election sure, and to know and to do the written word of God. As Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 11, "For the scripture says," again, the word translated scripture is in the Greek graphe, all the words printed on the pages of your Bible. "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, in Christ, will not be put to shame." But know that in times of trial, even the dust on the cover of your Bible may stand in judgment of you. But additionally, know that a Bible that is falling apart, usually in the hands of someone who isn't. The servant joyfully sings in verse 8 of chapter 50, "He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me." The Holy Spirit uses words of a courtroom procession. And just as Jesus can sing this, so can we Christians sing it too. Because in the courts of heaven, Christians like Jesus have been vindicated, declared innocent, and free from accusation. Satan's accusations and attacks come to our minds by the way of our imaginations. The Father has acquitted us. Jonathan Edwards wrote, "It must be only by the imagination that Satan has access to the soul to tempt and delude it or suggest anything to it." Beloved, Satan is real, and the devil wants you to engage your imagination, take you on a trolley ride to the neighborhood of make-believe. Christians have been declared innocent. We have been justified in the court of heaven by the blood of our defense attorney. John sees a vision and writes in Revelation 12, verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." Satan is removed from the courtroom. The servant tells us in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 50, "Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up." Jesus, the Messiah, rose again and survived all of their attacks. His cause, truth, and reputation live on, while all the power, influence, and reputation of his adversaries will vanish as a garment wore out, eaten by moths, and then thrown away. This is the word of God that sustains the weary. Jesus' word to weary Christians is that because of Jesus' finished work, you will survive the attacks of all of your adversaries. So cling closely to Christ and his word, the true word that sustains the weary. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And in the postlude to this servant song, the Father asks a great question and gives a greater invitation in verse 10 of Isaiah 50, saying, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in the darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Walk not in the world's darkness, but in the light of God's written word." The servant Jesus is the word of God, and he is to be more than looked at, to be obeyed. But know that in this life we will never obey him perfectly, but we can trust and rely in the finished work of Christ, who obeyed the Father's word perfectly for us. So let us trust in God and Jesus, repent of our sins, believe the gospel and be saved. Let us know Jesus' commandments and do them to the best of our ability with the Holy Spirit's help to properly love Jesus, who said in John 14, verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, to know and have Jesus' commands, we must know Jesus' commands by his written word. This is how we love Jesus and God with all of our hearts. And it is Jesus' heart who cries out by his Spirit, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As we come to the conclusion in verse 11, the Father warns those who walk in the darkness of their own light, in man's light, in man's words, in men's imaginations, and in the words of the false prophets. It is a terrifying warning of the weariness and torment of self-sufficiency. The Father gives us a stern warning in verse 11 of Isaiah 50. "Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment." Becoming your own light, or imagining you have the light, will keep you from the true light and keep you weary and lost. The words of man provide no rest for the weary. Believing and trusting in the words of man brings the soul to torment. Concerning the false prophets, you must know that God's people do not make God's word, but it is God's word who makes God's people. Do not deceive yourself. We live in a time when biblical discernment is being put to death. We live in the time of the most biblically illiterate church since the invention of the printing press. A recent Lifeway research study found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read their Bibles more than once a week. And over 40% of the people attending church read their Bible occasionally, maybe once or twice a month, and 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never, ever read the Bible. And if any of these are you, maybe setting yourself up for deception, exhaustion, and torment. This verse is a stern warning for those who are trusting in their own righteousness and own imaginations. This promise is a stern warning for those who make idols and false gods in their minds and hearts. Idols created by the imagination of men, by false teachers and false prophets that are not based on God's true light, his written revelation. Know that our hearts are deceitful beyond words, and they are idol factories. Human hearts and minds, by their imagination and not biblical discernment, believe false prophets and therefore create false gods and false Jesuses that cannot save or sustain the weary. Beware of replacing the true revelation of God's light, his written word, with the darkness of man-made light. Beware of the darkness and beware of self-deception. Hear the words of the psalmist of Psalm 119, verses 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Let us repent of walking in the darkness of man's light and walk in the light of the Lord. And let us set our faces like a flint, make our calling sure, investing our time and lives ready to read, study, and know God's faithful, true, and written revelation. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, again in Greek, graphe, all the words printed on the pages of your Bible are theopneustos. They are breathed out by God, his breath still heavy on the page. And they are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. May God give us ears to hear, eyes that see, and minds of understanding. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to know ourselves and know you by your written word. Help us to truly know you and follow you. Help us to obey your commands to truly love you. Lord, help us to cling to nothing, only to you and to your word. Amen and amen.